Okay. Awesome. Yep, good. All right. So Philippians. The theme of Philippians is to live is Christ. Philippians 1:21. Let's read the theme verse, in my opinion, of Philippians. Philippians 1:21, which says, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." Imagine being able to say that. Imagine being able to say that. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. What about Philippi? What's this place, Philippi? It's, by the way, it's still there. Philippi. All right. Thessalonica, by the way, is the second largest city in Greece. It's still there. There is the old Philippi in that picture. All right. Now, what about Philippi? Well, it turns out if you go to Acts 16, let's really quickly, just very, very quickly go to Acts 16 to figure out what's the whole deal with Philippi. Acts 16. All right. Starting in verse 6. All right. By the way, I drew that. That's me drawing on that map. So I'll explain that in a second here. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Believe it or not, I'm going to make contact between that and starting the semester here at UC Merced. All right, bear with me. Okay, bear with me. Okay. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river. We were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down, began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. She said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So Paul, he was trying to preach the word. He's trying to start a campus ministry. He's trying to kind of get things going spiritually there. So first, he went to Phrygia. All right. And then he went to Galatia. And then he went to Bithynia. Then he went to Mysia in Asia. And God said, "Nope, can't go there. Nope, can't go there. No work to do there. No ministry work to do there." Paul's like, "Man, where am I supposed to go?" So God said, "Go down to Troas. Go down to Troas. And then get on a boat and go to, was it Apollonia? Macedonia. No. From Troas. All right, wherever it was, got in the boat, and Samothrace, right, he went to you guys know where Samothrace is, right?
No.
Paul was hemmed in, he had nowhere to go, God was blocking everything. So then he goes from Troas, and I drew that, that's sort of ugly, see that arrow, that's supposed to be drawing an arrow. And God, he had a dream, he says, "Go to Macedonia." Where is Macedonia? Well, today it's part of Greece, but don't tell the Macedonians that. There's that whole political thing in Macedonia. That's a whole thing. Okay. So he went to Neapolis and he went to Philippi, was the largest city in Macedonia. So sometimes we wonder, what's God got in mind for me? What's God's plan for my life? What's God want to do with you? That's why I asked that question. What's your goal? What's your plan? What are you thinking? And sometimes God doesn't give a smooth path. towards the goal that you had in mind. Some of you, by the way, some of you just gave spiritual goals that work no matter what, you know, like Alex just wants to know the scripture better and, sorry, forgot your name. Stephen wants to read through the whole Bible. I mean, what's, you know, I'm pretty sure God's going to support that goal. You know what I'm saying? All right. So what is God's plan for me going into the future? And so we're going to read in Philippians 1. In fact, let's go to Philippians 1. But anyway, Paul goes to Philippi. Everywhere he'd gone before, there was a synagogue. So what he did is he went and he preached in the synagogue. And he would convert Jews to Christianity, start the kernel of a church, and then start reaching out to the Gentiles and build from there. But when he showed up in Philippi, guess what they didn't have? They didn't have a synagogue. So like, now, Paul's got to be about, what am I going to do? You know, they canceled my class. I was going to have this roommate in the dorm and, you know, I was going to go to this church and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly, Francisco finds out the system's messing him up and they canceled his license and he's training for this truck driving thing and, you know, stuff happens. Stuff happens. We have our plans and God has his plans. So he goes into Philippi. He says, now what I'm going to do? He's thinking, I don't know. I'm just going to go pray. Amen. So he went to the place in the city where people went to pray. And what did he find there?
Women.
A bunch of women. Where are the men? By the way, this is a pretty mixed crowd. It's pretty evenly mixed, but we actually have slightly more men than women. You know what?
Let's go.
That's women. You know, and we're gonna, you guys are gonna have your own special ones on it. But you know what? I am really glad to see men here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because generally men overall are less spiritual than women.
Yeah.
That was Paul's experience. So anyway, he met Lydia there. And you know what? Paul, he had no idea because basically this was the foothold that led to the gospel spreading throughout Europe. Because the bottom line is Philippi was the first Christian church in Europe ever. From there, he went to Thessalonica and Berea and Corinth and all these other places. God has great plans for you, but that his plan may not be your plan. All right? But anyway, as Paul is writing Philippi, to Philippians, let's go there. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Philippians 1. The rest of our, we're not going to go to any other passages, I promise. Okay, Paul's there. And Paul had really fond memories of Philippi. Because, you can read, we're going to read, he would just love these disciples. He loved these disciples so much. But you know what his fondest memory of Philippi was? I think it was getting thrown in prison. Right? We're not going to read, so in Acts 16, he got thrown in prison for preaching the word. They had a little thing, and he got in trouble, and the magistrates didn't like, they're losing business to all these people becoming Christians and all that kind of stuff. If we stir things up on campus, some people might get mad at us. That's part of the deal, you know what I'm saying? And then, so he's lying there in prison, it's dark, it's wet, it's cold, and what were he and Silas doing?
Singing
and praying. And suddenly, the doors of the jail opened up. And the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? You know what I'm saying? You never know what God's going to do. But you know what Paul's doing when he wrote the letter of Philippi? Does anybody know where Paul is when he's writing the letter of the Philippians? He's in jail. He's in prison in Rome. So I bet he told the story about Philippi to his jailers. Hey, dudes, just so you know. But anyway, that was a Christian joke. And nobody's like, that's a Christian joke. Thank you, Zane. All right. Let's get into, fond memories. Lydia, partnership with Silas, Philippian jail. What do you do in your darkest moments? Some of us are going to have some dark moments this semester. One thing I noticed that UC Mercer said last semester, I saw more students dazed and confused than I've ever seen in my life. There's a lot of hurting students on this campus. I think this semester is going to be better. I honestly think those first year students who got through that first semester, I think they're going to do better this semester. I think it's going to be a better semester for them. Amen. All right, Philippians 1 through 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with all the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all God's holy people. Actually, the word is hagios. And that means saints. He says to all the saints. All right, so if you are a Christian, guess what? You're a saint. Right here, Saint Josh. Over here, Saint Gabriel. Over here, Saint Tiani. Over here, Saint Stephanie. All right? If you're in Christ, you're holy. And the thing is, holy, that means set apart. It means perfect. One of the most beautiful things about Christianity is if you're in Christ, God sees you not as you are, but as He will make you. Amen. And so when you come into Christ, He declares you holy. And then once you're in Christ, He gradually makes you more holy. And then when Christ comes back again, you will be fully holy. And that's a beautiful thing. But let's go on to our next passage, because the main section we want to read is verse 3 through 8. Then we'll do some other stuff. 3 through 8, 9 through 11, that's the main part of our lesson for tonight. Let's read verse 3 through 8. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. As I'm reading this, I want you to just get a picture how Paul feels about the Philippians. Just get a sense of the relationship he had with these people. Those are the kind of relationships I want us to have with each other in this club. Okay, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, listen folks, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So you see how Paul felt about the Philippians. How did he feel about them? He truly had them in his heart. And he's in prison. Now, if you were lying in chains in prison, who would you be thinking about? I'd be thinking about myself. Now, I'm using Francisco as an example, but tonight we're driving over here. Francisco got some bad news today. All right? And Francisco, he was tempted to think about himself, right? But he's here tonight, and give him a chance, he's gonna encourage you. Alright, he's gonna encourage you. Alright? And basically, what Paul's saying is, I have confidence in what God has already done in you, and I have confidence in what God is currently doing in your life, and he says, I have confidence in what God will do in your life in the future. Alright? Because he says, God began a good work in you. God already worked to bring you to here tonight. And that's a good thing. All right? He says, from the first day until now, from the past until the present, he's been working at you, on you. And then in verse 6, he says, and I'm sure that he will carry that work to completion. Okay, Paul believes that the good work he began in you, he's going to carry it on to completion. God has a plan for your life. You know, though, today's the first day of the rest of your life. That's kind of, you know, whatever. You know, they put that on the bumper sticker. But you know, it's kind of spiritual. It's kind of true. I want you to have a vision. I want you to have a vision of God fulfilling this passage in your life today. What I mean by that is this semester, UC Merced College, right here. But I want you to have a vision of God carrying it to completion. You're looking at an old person right now. Yeah. I'm old. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm going to be 69 years old. I am old.
Wow.
All right? And I believe that God is going to carry his work through to completion in your life.
Amen.
All right? And I hope that the Alpha Omega Club can be part of that. I really hope it can. In Christ, the ultimate outcome is guaranteed. In Christ. And we're going to see, well, I wish I had time to do all of chapter one. But Paul's going to say, you know, whether I live or die, he says, it's all the same to me. He says, you know, he's living in jail. He's in jail. He said, you know what? I'm convinced that God is going to get me out of jail so I can come and preach to you. But he says, you know what? Even if he doesn't, it's all the same to me. Because, you know, here's where you are. Here's where you're going. And how you get from here to there, it doesn't matter as much as you think. What matters is God is going to carry it on to completion. And then he talks about how much he loves them. He says, we're partners in the gospel. We're partners in sharing the gospel. And that's really, honestly, that's what our club is about. It's about sharing the gospel on campus. I mean, that's why this club even exists. All right? If people don't like it, sorry. You know, that's what we're here to do. Right? He said in verse 5, we are partners in the gospel. Paul with the Philippians, we're partners. We're all trying to do the same thing. All right? And he says, A person, this is a quote from a famous theologian, it says, those who possess the gospel, share it. Can you, with Paul in verse 7, say that you have the saints in the Merced on your heart? Can you say, God can testify how much my love for them is on my heart? Look at verse 8. God can testify how I long for you. The Greek word, I don't know Greek, so whenever I quote Greek, I'm looking it up, all right? I do not speak Greek, all right? I speak English. I speak Spanish. I don't speak Greek, okay? But the Greek word is epipotheo. Basically, it says, I'm feeling homesick for you. It's the word for homesick. Paul loved the disciples there. That's why, like I'm saying, this morning, I'm getting really personal. This morning, I was practically in tears praying, for Josh, because I hadn't seen him for a while. And because I hadn't seen him for a while, honestly, I was kind of worried about him. And Jen, I mean, she was talking to me this morning, I really, really want to see Gabriel today. Others of you, we don't know so well, so I can't say, you know, I long to see you today, but I hope that by the end of the semester, I'll be able to say that about you as well. And I hope you can say that about each other, because we need to be close. We need each other. All right? Let's read verse 9 through 11. All right? So point number one, I guess, is God says to you, I guarantee you, I will carry my work in your life to completion. Point number two, I guess, verse 9 through 11. Well, I keep forgetting. I need to forward my slides. Let me see what I said. But God began a good work in you from the first day, up till now, all right? And then he's still working in us in the future. God will carry his work to completion. The outcome is guaranteed. The path is not. Got it? The outcome is guaranteed. The path is not. All right, and then we talk. Sorry about that. Jen always helps me out, but then tonight she forgot. But it's my fault because I'm the one who's supposed to forward my PowerPoint. All right. I've talked about being partners. We talked about that. Hopefully this club will show some of this. Okay, got it? Paul's prayer. What is Paul's deep, deep desire for the Philippians? Let's find out. Verse 9 through 11. It says, and this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. One thing I noticed is I asked y'all, what's your goal? So many of you shared, I was very impressed, so many of you shared, essentially, you want to know God's word better, You want to be closer to God? Some of those goals were really encouraging. I wish I'd written them down. I really wish I'd written them down. God's deep desire was that they should grow in knowledge and discernment, so they'd be able to know what God's will is. Now, I'm quoting here from Romans 12, 1 and 2, all right? It says, present your body as living sacrifices, acceptable, pleasing to God, which is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will be able to discern his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul's prayer was that they would grow in knowledge of God. And how do we acquire knowledge of God? Primarily through the scripture. That's not the only way we acquire knowledge of God. But the principal way we're going to acquire knowledge of God is through the scripture. All right, but also discernment. What's another word for discernment?
Insight.
Good. Another word for discernment.
Judgment.
Good. But not like judging people, right?
Like appraisal.
Okay. Another word for insight. For discernment, insight, wisdom. So Paul's prayer for us is that this semester, you grow in knowledge of God and then in discernment of his will. How can we come to know what's best? Romans 12, 1 and 2. All right, we need to grow in our knowledge of what's right, largely through the Bible, and to grow in our discernment, wisdom about how to carry it out. You know, one thing I'd like to remind myself is we have different choices. And because a lot of times it's good, better, best. What would be a good job for me to have? All right, what would be a better job for me to have? Or what would be the best job? What would be a good way to seek a boyfriend or a girlfriend? What would be a better way to seek a boyfriend or a girlfriend? What would be the best way for me to seek a boyfriend or girlfriend? What would be a good way for me to seek a career through which I can glorify God? What would be a better way that I could seek a career that through which I could glorify God? Or what would be the best? So Paul's desire was the Philippians would come to knowledge and discernment to know what was best. What is the best path? And by the way, if you don't choose the best path, if instead you choose a good path, guess what? That's still
good.
Yes. And if you don't choose the best path, instead you choose a better path, that's still
better.
But don't you want to know what the best path is?
Yeah.
Don't you want to know that?
Yes.
Paul wants you to acquire knowledge of that. Do you settle for good or better, or do you earnestly seek what's best in your schedule for this semester, in the way you work this semester, and like I said, in boyfriend-girlfriend type stuff, which is the big issue, let's be real about it, for 18 to 25-year-old people? Don't forget that with knowledge and discernment comes the need to put it into practice. Because, all right, here's somebody who's going to know the Bible a lot better at the end of the semester than he knew it at the beginning of the semester. And Alex, if you know Alex, he's serious about this too. I mean, you talk to Alex, he kind of knows his Bible. He's kind of a smart guy also, which helps. All right. And then, you know, Kevin, who wants to help people, kind of wants to set an example for people. All right. So with knowledge and discernment comes the need to put those things that you know that's best into practice. Alright? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verse 12 through 26. I'm going to make just a couple of minor points because I want us to finish by about 20 after, maybe 25 after at the latest, and then have our little group discussions, okay? So I'm going to read verse 12 through 26 and get a couple points from it, okay? So bear with me. Let's do that. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, members of the Alpha Omega Christian Club, or visitors there too. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What would happen to him?
He's in prison.
Got thrown in prison. And guess what? Paul is excited about being thrown in prison. In fact, it was his plan. If you read back in Acts, Paul was in Greece, and he wanted to preach the gospel in Rome.
Yeah.
So how did he achieve that? He went to Jerusalem. Think about a map. He's in Greece. He wants to preach the gospel in Rome. So where did he go? To Jerusalem. Because he knew if he went to Jerusalem, he'd get thrown in jail. And he would appeal to Caesar, and he'd get sent to Rome, where he could preach to the high muckety-mucks there in Rome, which is what he did. And members of Caesar's household were converted. Wow. Would you be willing to be thrown in prison for the gospel? By the way, don't worry. It's probably not going to happen to you. But Paul, he's kind of crazy that way. He's kind of radical. All right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I need to just keep reading or else I'm going to get in trouble. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Because I'm in jail, the Christians are fired up and they're doing better. I'm glad I'm in jail. I'm glad I'm stuck in Merced instead of at Santa Barbara or,
Just kidding.
All right. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former, the ones who have a bad attitude but preach anyway, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. It says, I'm confident I'm going to get out of here. Then we'll find out, well, maybe not so much. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And here's the theme passage of Philippians. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to part and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Let me give you a little quick outline of this section. Basically, in verse 12 through 13, he says, everything that happened up till now has advanced the gospel, and I'm fired up about that. Then he says, everything that's happening right now is serving to advance the gospel, and I'm fired up about that. And he says, you know what? I'm also confident that everything that will happen in the future will also serve to advance the gospel. Therefore, I'm fired up. You know, Paul said, going back to this verse, I want, if there's a take-home lesson, if there's a verse I want you to take home, it's not for me to live as Christ and die as gain, because everybody knows that scripture. I'm just kidding, but no, it's this one, the one that people probably don't know so much, which is verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul practiced what he preached. Paul said, could have said, I'm confident of this about my own life. About my own life. That he who began a good work in my own life will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that, Stephanie? Do you believe that, Eve? That God will carry it on to completion. And what are we talking about completion? Dying. till the day you die.
Amen.
Till the day you die. So basically, verse 1 through 12 and 13, he says, all the stuff that happened, it worked out in the end, man, because more people got baptized. Then, verse 14 through 18, yeah, I'm in jail, and people are arguing. Some people are out there preaching out of bad motives. Some people are preaching out of good motives. I don't really even care about that. All I know is people are being won to Christ. I'm fired up about that. Then verse 9, but my favorite part is 19 through 26. Because basically Paul says, I know where I'm going. The only thing I don't know is how I'm going to get there. I don't know when I'm going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get there. All I know is I'm going to get there. And that's all that really matters to me. Says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know? I don't know if I'm going to graduate from UC Merced. I don't really know. Not me, y'all. I don't know what God has in mind, whether I'm going to be married or single. Whether maybe I'm going to get a disease. Maybe I'm going to have a chronic disease and, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll lose my legs. I'll be in a wheelchair. I don't know. I don't know. Now, all of us hope it works out better than that, right? All of us hope we get graduate and, you know, get our degree in public health and go out there and go on a mission and help people in Kenya to start churches and, you know, all this sort of, all of us hope it turns out that way. All right? But later on in Philippians, he says, one thing I do, I press on. Philippians 3, I press on. Oh, read Philippians 3, but not tonight. So in verse 12 and 13, he says, what's happened to me is going to serve the gospel. Verse 14 to 18, what's happening right now is going to serve the gospel. But he says, what will happen will also serve the gospel. Look at that verse 19. Verse 19 says, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that what has happened will to me will turn out for my deliverance. And by the way, like I said, next Wednesday, we're going to start a study of 2 Corinthians. And one of the themes is confidence in Christ. Confidence in Christ. It's a big theme. So in verse 19, he says, I know. And in verse 20, he says, I expect that I'll have enough courage to face my execution. Yep. Paul is certain of the outcome, but he's uncertain about the path, and he's not particularly concerned about the path. He says, for me to live is Christ. So I've got a question for you. All right, Paul is confident about the future, right? Certain of the outcome, but uncertain about the path. He says, for I know through your prayers that it's going to work out. I expect that I'll have sufficient courage at that time. I expect that God will exalt me in the end. But here's the question. For me to live is? All right, you can quote the scripture. Okay, good. I'm glad you can quote the scripture. All right. But for you, January 17th? 18th? Whatever. January 17th, 2024. For me to live is computer games. For me to live is biology degree. For me to live is hair cutting. Just kidding. For me to live is my boyfriend. For me to live is Paul could look you in the eye and say, for me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Amen? So I'm going to stop there. I have some other stuff. I'm going to skip that. So we're going to go straight to our questions. And so we're going to end on time. We'll have our group discussions. We'll end on time, which is, on time is between 8:30 and 8:40. That's on time. All right? So do you believe that God will complete the work he began in you? All right? So we're going to get in groups of three or four. And we're going to ask what work do you see God doing in you this semester? Okay? Just people share about that, all right, just with each other. And then share about, for me to live is blank. Okay? Got it? So we're going to have a prayer to finish it out. And then we'll get, as we usually do. And by the way, you don't have to stay. You can leave if you want. But hopefully you'll stay because this personal sharing, I mean, it's just me talking up till now, right? All right, good. So let's finish out with a prayer. We'll form up in groups of three or four. Thank you, God, for Paul's example. that he could sit there in jail. And he knew that God broke him out of the Philippian jail. But I don't think he even prayed for God to break him out of jail. He just prayed that the gospel would be preached to many people. And we saw, God, that Paul was confident about the past. Well, that's easy because it already happened. But he was also confident about the present, which wasn't so easy because he was in jail and people were arguing with each other. But he was confident about the future. God, I pray that we could say with Paul tonight that we know you are going to carry the good work you began in us to completion on the day of Christ. I pray as a club and as a group of friends and fellow disciples, even though we may not all be in the same church fellowship together, we're in this club together, we're in the same situation at UC Merced College together, I pray, God, that you'd help us have the spirit that Paul expressed, that he longed for them, he loved them, he believed in them, and he knew that they loved him. God, thank you for this time. I pray you bless our pancake breakfast, our hearts night, even our silly bingo night, but more importantly, God, our service to the community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And by the way, in our announcements, I forgot to mention that we've been serving the community. We're going to take it to the next level this semester. You'll hear about that. Groups of three or four. Groups of three or four to discuss. What work do you see God doing in you this semester? And to discuss, for me to live is fill in the blank. Groups of three or four.